Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Giggs, and you're listening to the Football Ramble.
Hi, I'm Robbie Earle, and this is the Football Ramble.
After 90 minutes of sheer hell, I listen to the Football Ramble.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Here we are once again, and James or Jim is here.
Hello.
Pete's here.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Luke's here.
All right.
And I'm Marvellous Marcus.
Woo! Don't give yourself a nickname.
Well, oh, I thought that's what you all called me. Chappies, we recently had an intruder onto one of our football pitches in this country. And I'm talking about a professional standard, I'm sure. There was lots.
What, the old Steve Harper nonsense.
Exactly. And we don't condone that.
No.
Apparently his mum made him go down and say sorry.
He went back with his dad, didn't
he?
I was kind of hoping his dad would kneel down behind Steve Harper. The kid push him over.
That would be great.
But it didn't happen.
No.
Apparently he was full of remorse.
Can you remember when the boy did it at the second City Derby in front of the Aston Villa goalkeeper? He gave him the old... masturbatory sign
no
in
way.
His face. Yeah, yeah. That was a couple of years
impudent.
Ago.
Was it Paul Robinson that really, really just effectively like just grabbed a guy and just sort of like wrestled him to the ground? Like,
Robinson's
sort
of a bit of a unit.
Yeah, he's a big guy, but he did it with like two movements of his entire body. It was just so economic.
Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
Hang on here, you're using up examples.
Okay, example.
The question I have for you is, what is your favourite pitch intrusion?
Pitch intrusion.
Like a mole.
Yeah.
Stop intruding into our pitch.
Stop making pitch invasion sound sexual. It's not a sexual thing.
No, well, it can be.
Okay.
As James will testify to.
I'm going to go for a serial offender. Last seen trying to pick up the World Cup, Jimmy Jump.
Going there.
You're trying to tell me that's not sexual.
I love the way Jimmy Jump's thought to himself, if I'm going to do this, I'm doing this at the very top level.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give myself this name.
I think
he warned people, though, didn't he? He said, I'm going to jump on the World Cup final. Yeah. Now, I'm sure that's a mistranslation, but it's, it's still quite a grand thing to say. But
he was so close.
He was. He really was, wasn't he? Especially with someone with so much previous as well, to get that close.
Literally unbelievably close.
Yeah. Since like habeas corpus seemed to be suspended over in South Africa for the period of the World Cup, I'm surprised he never just got like shot or something.
Yeah, well, exactly. FIFA law.
Imagine that if he'd have just bolted at the World Cup, and he'd just
West.
Dropped in.
Yeah,
a bullet in his head.
Yeah,
and Pickles would have found it if he'd gone away.
Yeah, exactly.
Or one of his descendants. But I'm not going to go for the time that he tried to nick the World Cup. I'm going to go for the first time that I saw him, even though I think he'd done stuff before this, which was in Euro 2000 when he ran on the pitch when Portugal were playing, draped a Barcelona flag over Luis Figo, then ran towards the goal being chased by stewards and just like scored a goal with himself almost, just like dived into the back of the net. An absolute screamer.
He was like a fish, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
He did a Klinsmann into the net.
We've talked about it before.
I think we have it. He jumped really high and his body hit the net about sort of like halfway up.
Oh, super!
It was a great jump.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I don't know what he was thinking about, to be honest.
I don't think he really thinks about a lot of this too hard.
He's very much a man for the moment.
And how do you know he's called himself Jimmy Jump after? He might just be called Jimmy Jump.
He's Italian.
Name.
Seems unlikely.
He really
no, he's Spanish, isn't he?
Sorry.
He should really be fit with a chip, shouldn't he? Really, so that he, like, if you go anywhere near
French
any
fry.
Sort of sporting event, out.
Yeah.
And then he'd be like, he'd be reduced to doing like the squash and the badminton.
Like the English fellow who does all the events. He did the snooker, the golf.
He was class.
When he did the golf, he ran along.
He was a bit weird.
He ran in front of across the green in the final day's play, and he had in his back in Marker Pen 19th hole with an arrow pointing to his bottom.
That was quite good. If I owned a football club, I would incorporate Jimmy Jump, although that's probably not how he operates. And every time we ran the field, I'd have Jump played.
by.
Get a bit tedious after a while, wouldn't it?
No, I wouldn't have it every week. Every other week. Just home games. Pete.
Well, I'm going to have the knockabout affair that was 2006's Fulham versus Chelsea when William Gallas got sent off rather late in the game. Fulham won 1-0, and there was just a big scrap on the pitch, basically. it was. I've never seen so much fighting, but so much limp-wristed fighting.
Who intruded?
It was just both of them. I think Fulham and Chelsea, the firms just got together and started having a bit almighty scrap. Obviously, we don't condone any of this nonsense. It was some of the limpest hooliganism I think I've ever seen.
It's not really a derby you expect to see much trouble from.
It was at Craven Cottage. It was ridiculous.
They've let themselves down there for
that's why it was limp-wristed. Hugh Grant getting
the neutral, the neutral area just fighting amongst themselves.
Grant's in the middle going,
I love you. I'm just a man standing in front of a man getting punched.
This is terribly awkward.
Sorry, Luke, do you want to go?
Yes.
Go on.
I will go for, not that long ago, in fact.
He's got the grin on, ladies and gentlemen.
Saltergate, Chesterfield's last game. they beat Bournemouth 2-1, last out of season, I think. And they were moving stadiums. And then this was the most ridiculous pitch invasion. It was absolutely mad because everyone got on. Then there's a guy, famously a guy with a wheelchair, got on. And his dad, and he got about halfway across the pitch. And his dad ran along, grabbed him, turned him round, wheeled him back, slapped him round the head. And as he came off, a guy with crutches came on. And in my head, it was like Noah's Ark. The animals, it was just animals everywhere. There was a tortoise, a rabbit, a pair of lions.
Was that a healing evangelist ran on and they thought, he's the man?
Yeah, there he is. Yeah. After him. But that was very, very odd.
Bizarre.
But it was good. It was good. It was definitely the best pitch invasion I've seen, so I had to pick it.
It's very easy to get stranded.
It's pitch invader, though, isn't it? Have you got a specific...
Oh, intruder.
Specifically intruder.
The man in the wheelchair, I don't know his name.
Chris Coleman on mine said there's no place for idiots at Fulham at the time.
Present company except.
So they got rid of them.
Mohamed Al-Fayed.
apart from one.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a game I was at, and it was at Farnborough were away to Arsenal. Well, not originally, but they changed the tie because it was at Arsenal in the third round of the FA Cup. And Farnborough had, it was at the Highbury, James.
Highbury.
And Farnborough, of course, occupied the clock end.
Yeah.
And basically a streaker came on. Mm. And it was wonderful. And it was, they'd changed their strategy.
Could you see everything?
All of it. Not a thread on the man. And it has to be a man for me.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's each their own.
Otherwise it's sinister.
I prefer a dog.
that's a Football Ramble exclusive.
I prefer a new dog.
Yeah. But, it was when they changed their strategy for a brief moment. You know, obviously, streaker comes on or anybody, you take them down. Whereas they thought, oh, well, we'll just leave the streaker. They'll get bored. This guy won't get him bored. He was loving it. He was running around. And then he ran up to the goal where the Farnborough fans were. And he, headed the air as if it was in. Everybody went. And then as he was dragged off the pitch, he was, covering his bits, putting on him an embarrassed
face. Why do they always do that?
Because he's blood.
I'm embarrassed.
Why do they always cover their bits then?
The adrenaline's fading away then. You've suddenly got some sort of inhibition again.
I like when a policeman tries to cover it with his helmet.
Yeah,
this is the tenor phrase. Well, it was
well,
during the same derby that sort of prompted this question. There was a magpie on the pitch. He popped on for a bit, didn't he?
Well, then and so
and
that
that's probably what started it,
and that's what got you the point.
Right at the end.
There's got to be some honourable mentions to Carl Power. As well, the guy that got in the Man United photo in the Champions League 1 year. He did a few games, didn't he? And remember, there was a squirrel got on the pitch at Ivory once as well.
Bloody hell.
Incredible. Yeah, I vaguely remember that, yeah.
Right, well, let's press on with the Premier League. There was a lot of derbies.
That's enough serious stuff.
Yeah. Newcastle nearly got the win against Sunderland.
I'll take 6-2 on aggregate. That's fine. Not a problem.
Is that
but
right?
Every single year, talking about invasions, they invaded 2 years ago and the Northumbria police were supposed to be doing something about it. They never did.
No, why would they?
Why haven't they been... I hope they try and throw a book at them, if any Sunderland fans have seen one. Oh boom.
Apologise.
Right in your face. Sorry, everyone.
Have that pit, yakkers.
As I believe
James,
you call them.
That great cornerstone of British literature, Newcastle.
Well, that's enough, all of you. All of you.
Historical.
Bit of order in the Ramble Court. Now, there was a famous face in the Newcastle end.
Oh, exciting. Faustino Asprilla.
What was he there?
In the away end. Jumping around. He went mental, apparently, when they scored.
Damn right he did. Really? Did he do his cartwheel?
I love seeing that.
Did he have a gun?
What was Nolan's chicken
thing
about?
Say again?
What was Nolan's chicken thing about?
That's his salad. He does that every time.
It's terrible.
It is an awful celebration. It's worse than that Amiobi's one hand on the chest sort of, I do this every week.
Mm. Yeah. Well, Alan Shearer, of course, set the benchmark, didn't he?
Yeah. Didn't he try to copyright that, Shearer?
Yes, yeah, apparently he did. Yeah.
Awful. I think Shadow Amiobi's probably trying to stop himself having a heart attack from the shock, isn't he?
He's off of scoring.
Well,
he's
scored in pretty much every derby in the past, like, 5 years.
That's the only
game. Is that why you keep him on?
Yeah. Well, I genuinely, he nearly scored. If Nolan sort of, it was the briefest of touches on the line from Nolan, his little flying back heel thing he did. But it was visibly annoyed that Nolan claimed it. But it was a spicy little derby. It was good.
Spicy little derby. It was Sunderland look as though they've made a few quid with Darren Bent. Looks as though he's gone to Villa.
Well, I think that's been confirmed as the time of recording.
4.5 year deal.
Mm, yeah. 18 million rising to 24, is it possibly, depending on appearances and stuff?
Does this mean Sunderland can go back to one up front with Jan, perhaps?
Well, maybe Welbeck. We'll play further in.
Yeah.
The thing is, he might be out because he's got a hamstring at the moment, but he's supposed to be out for they need some exploratory knee surgery or something. So he may even go back to.
It's Fraser Campbell.
Fraser Campbell's injured as
I said it as if it was a Fraser was his surname there.
What about Fraser?
Little Fraser.
it's a weird move on Bent's point of view, isn't it? It's certainly, I mean, obviously Villa are better than the position they're in now, but it's really kind of a sideways move. Oh, there must be something going on in his personal life, you would think.
Apparently he was making sort of moves towards...
In the summer.
To go, in the summer. But people are saying that he's a bit...
Maybe doesn't like the shops.
I mean, I don't know if... I know English players are generally overpriced, and I think when it comes to European clubs, they do rip English clubs off a little bit as well. I think when it comes to England, the transfer market is a bit odd. But I mean, Ben is—he's a good goal scorer. I mean,
he's exactly got goals in 5 years, isn't it?
In all competitions, I think it's 81 really? League goals. I think.
Yeah. Well, it's only Rooney and Drogba that have scored more in the league. This stat's been all over the place, isn't it?
Last 5 years.
Yeah, and they've only got one goal more each.
And he's coming into his prime. He's 26. You know, he can get better. Really, I think.
Mm. Well, and Villa would have a very exciting... Well, they've already got quite an exciting attacking lineup.
They're spending the Milner money, aren't they?
But he's not the sort of... Bent's not the sort of striker to prey on sort of crosses and stuff. So, Julio's... the reason that Villa are underachieving, in my opinion, is because Julio's trying to get them to actually play decent football, which they didn't do under O'Neill. And it's a bit of an adjustment. But if Bent's one of those players, he doesn't really... He's not amazing at holding the ball up. He doesn't really prey on crosses. But if you put a through ball to him, he'll score.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, he'll score. And he'll score penalties as well. Mm. He's a good penalty taker. If he guarantees them... I mean, if what your stats are saying are true, 20 goals a season, more or less, then that's worth the money, because getting relegated for Villa is unthinkable. Unthinkable.
Absolutely. And they drew, of course, 1-1 with Birmingham in the Brum derby. Well,
they've also signed Jean McCoon, haven't they? Yeah. That's pretty much six a done deal, I think, isn't it? And he's a decent player, sort of Champions League experience. There's someone else they're looking at as well.
Pitch invasions, Birmingham City.
It makes you wonder why O'Neill moved on. Because I mean, Lerner's obviously
he was unpopular.
Lerner did back him in the transfer market.
Yeah, a lot of the players were relieved when he went, though.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But they back. I mean, obviously Lerner's done the right thing in that, and now backed Julio, which I think is fair. But it's really weird how O'Neill. I know he's not going to go to West Ham now, but he left Aston Villa for a number of reasons, all of which would be prevalent at West Ham.
Yeah.
And more and worse. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to work for Sullivan and Gold personally.
No. West Ham thing's really strange because, I mean, obviously, all the reports that O'Neill was really, really annoyed that it was leaked that he might be going there and they were in talks and stuff like that. And just imagine it from O'Neill's point of view, that your emotions are making the news. Yeah. If it was in the news that you were annoyed.
I think you want to be in London I think you want to be in London because of the high crime rates. He likes his...
Oh, he does, yeah. He loves his
criminology.
He does. East London, come on. It's a short stroll to Hackney. Solve some crime.
If you don't get stabbed on the way.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Stereotype.
Yeah. Let's all calm down and listen to Luke.
Do you not... Thank you very much. Do you not... It's the best way to listen to me. Do you not think that O'Neill probably thought, I don't want to be involved in all this sort of stuff. You know, it's very, very unsavoury. Yeah. You know, it's disgraceful.
Before he's even there. Yeah. It's all going on.
It's either been leaked intentionally or unintentionally. Either way, it's pretty incompetent, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, Grant's taken West Ham to the semi-final of the Carling Cup. They're leading in it.
But
so, you know,
now O'Neill's turned it down, they're saying they're backing Grant all of a sudden. You know, I mean, how surprising.
Poor Avi.
You know, I heard something today, which was Wayne Bridge is the only English player Uncle Avi has signed.
What a signing it was.
I don't know if that's true, but that I couldn't think of any off the top
of my head.
Was
this signing maybe to make a point?
This is why I don't sign any of you.
God, what a debut.
Oh my goodness.
It's the most disastrous appearance in East London since Jack the Hat McVitie.
Hey. Was that a planned joke, Luke?
maybe a little.
He was actually shot in the face, wasn't he? In a pub called The Blind Beggar, which I sometimes go to.
That's not Wainbridge, by the way.
You can buy a commemorative coin of the craze in that very pub.
I'd rather have been shot in the face and do what Wainbridge did.
Yeah. I think maybe a week. He's taking a pay cut, to be fair.
Is Bridge maybe just still so angry at Terry? He's just doing everything he can to help Chelsea's rivals.
Yeah, maybe he is, yeah.
It was basically a Wainbridge hat trick, wasn't it, the weekend? Walcott made it look like a sort of Benny Hill style sort of show between the two of them.
Yeah. To be fair, Bridge hasn't played for a while, then to go straight up against...
He still hasn't.
and to go up against Walcott.
No, no. Walcott didn't even have a particularly good game as well, it must be said.
The ultimate debut stinker is own goal, sending off. And penalty. That's the hat trick. Give a penalty away, get an upscoring goal.
Woodgate didn't give away a penalty, did he?
No, own goal and sending off.
And got a standing ovation from one of the most critical crowds on earth.
Bizarre. Blimey. Let's move away from critical crowds. Liverpool 2, Everton 2. Thank you. It was quite a good game when it kind of opened up.
I thought Liverpool were slightly unlucky. It was a 15 or 20 minute period after half time where they sort of imploded a little bit, but I would have been reasonably happy.
They looked up for it, which they haven't seen.
But it's a derby, though, isn't it?
I know, but you've seen them sort of crawl to a whimper, if that is even a phrase.
It is now, big guy.
In a weird way, it's hard to work out whether Liverpool players are playing for Dalglish yet, because the first game was United in a cup game, and the second game was a Merseyside derby, which they should be up for whatever.
No, they lost to Wolves as well, didn't they?
Of course, they lost to Blackpool, didn't they?
Of course. I didn't see that. Sorry, Blackpool and Wolves.
Yeah, they're playing Wolves next.
Right.
Gerrard saying he wants Dalglish to stay.
He said he's going to do everything in his power. Which makes you wonder how much power he wields.
You're going to punch him in a bar?
Yeah. I'm going to do everything in power to make sure we play Phil Collins. terrible accent.
Apparently there's rumours that Liverpool interested in Van Bommel.
Maybe they need a scumbag.
I think we'd all like to see that happen. I really do.
Would we?
James.
I think he's
I worry about my team's fragile legs.
I think he's several yards short of
exactly.
pace.
Spurs 0, Manchester United 0. A little bit disappointing, that one. But Pienaar looks as though he's gone to Spurs.
Yes.
According to his Twitter feed.
I thought Spurs were excellent against United.
Yeah, you did.
And they were unlucky.
I do wonder where Pienaar will play.
Well, that's right.
Is he going to get in that side?
That's what I thought. Isn't it like an extortion?
It's £3 million or something.
I'm sure it was 15 or something.
No, because he's nearly
out of contract.
But the thing about Spurs is they've not... The depth isn't necessarily as big as everyone says it is. I mean, you've got players who like Kranka, who's not really played. I mean, Modric is...
Kranka's an excellent player. Yeah, Surely an absolute steal for someone else in the market as well.
Yeah, right, but I mean, look, what are Spurs looking to achieve? They're looking to achieve things in the Champions League. And is Kranka that level? I've seen him play quite a lot. He's a good player, but I don't know if he's at that level. Whereas Pienaar is probably a cut above him.
I suppose, and they're sort of fighting a lot of different fronts, aren't they? So they need that depth.
Oh, cool. And the thing about Spurs against United, Spurs could have feasibly won that game, and they've got I think they've got a great record against United. My memory might fail me slightly.
It's been ages since they've beaten them.
So they really signalled their intent. If they won that game, I think they could have really kicked on and possibly even done something remarkable.
I think United were probably happy with the point at the end of that game.
Oh, what a lane they would have been! Yeah, I think so.
Still unbeaten. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. Indeed. Now, Mario Balotelli, one of the Rambles' favourites.
The mouth.
He's been using it. now, we've obviously spoken about Ibrahimovic and Cassano at Milan and Balotelli trying to instigate a move there. Well, he's at it again.
He's only just got to Manchester City.
He's
been injured the whole time, pretty much.
And he's still claiming he's like the sort of the best player around.
Yeah. He said he's part of the best strike force, better than Real, better than Barcelona. Yeah.
He did. He said, in due course, he wants to make another strike force that would be worthy of challenging anybody. He said, "Me with Ibra and Cassano at Milan. It'll happen soon. For this year and another, I will stay at City where I'm fine."
His own agent.
2 years is a long time in football.
He also said Rooney isn't even the best striker in Manchester.
I wonder who he thinks he is. He said United fans don't insult him. They stop him in the street and say, "Mario, come to us."
That doesn't happen.
I want to hit you.
That may be pubs full of walking past.
Man City have got so many players that they are failing to keep happy, it seems.
It's impossible.
It's like spinning twats.
Dzeko seems like a mild man.
He had a good debut, to be fair.
His record's excellent, scoring-wise, really good.
Yeah,
speaks decent English as well.
A bit like John Parkin.
If we go down to
better than John Parker.
We go down to the gym.
If John Parker would take that food out of his mouth, I'd be able to tell you how well he speaks English.
We go down to the championship. Scored.
He only deals in food and goals.
That was a beautiful hit.
Good
outside
hit.
Of the right,
the
and
beast.
Then and then Bellamy runs up to him. I genuinely, you know that, you know the video game Kirby. I genuinely thought he was going to inhale him.
you need Bellamy to hug him to see how big he is.
Yeah, exactly.
It really gives it a good scale.
Massive.
A bit like you on the sofa last night next to Darren Moore. Yeah, it really shows how
Pete was on the TV.
Yeah, Luke's did it. Think of Luke as kind of like the Alan Shearer, the old hand.
Didn't do as well as reading the trivia around, did you? It was funny because Darren Moore was on it as well. Obviously playing for Burton Albion now. He's ex-Pompey.
Yeah.
They were talking about his nickname being Big Dave after the pot noodle advert.
Yes.
Whereas, I don't want to be out of order, and I wouldn't have said it if I was on the show with him, but the fact of the matter is his nickname at Pompey was Bovril, because every time he cleared the ball everyone was like, mind the Bovril.
I had a lovely chat with him.
He's a good player.
What a solid. Lovely fella. He was just sort of explaining how he did his anterior cruciate or whatever, and he said his knee just like it just started getting bigger and redder, and he was like, and he said once he got back he was so sort of tippy tapping. He was just scared of touching the ball.
Right.
Scared of putting in a challenge. But he says it only takes one challenge that you go through a play, you take the ball, you take the man, whatever, and your knee doesn't explode, and you're like, oh, I didn't. I'm back.
What happens if your knee does explode?
Well, yeah, then you're like, I knew this would happen.
Bloody told you, knee.
You go and see Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
Parkin scored his first, I think it was, for Cardiff in a 1-1 draw.
They were unlucky not to win, though.
They were very unlucky.
Did you see Martin squeezed that ball in? Like, he sort of flicked it into the roof of the net. Very, very
acute
angles.
And Forest beat Portsmouth 2-1 with two goals in the last 3 minutes to beat the Portsmouth side, which contained a certain Carnu up front. He scored. Nice to see the 34-year-old getting a goal there.
Ticking all the boxes, Pompey. Getting knocked out by lower league opposition in the cup. Check. Being 1-0 up with 3 minutes left, losing 2-1. Check. Next week it'll be a needless sending off and an absolute hammering.
Then fire sale and financial ruin.
All the boxes are being ticked. It's reassuring in a way.
Yeah. Portsmouth for promotion, James.
Maybe an improbable FA Cup win in a couple of years or FA Cup final if sort of the pattern is repeating itself, as it seems to be. But no, I don't think they'll get promoted, Marcus. I think you know that.
Oh, he's slagging you off.
If anything, it's a dig at me.
I'm sorry to be the messenger, mate.
Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not going to be operating on the south coast anymore for Bournemouth.
Is he a doctor?
Yeah.
A doctor of
doctor of tactics.
Doctor of gold.
he left Bournemouth after saying that he was going to stay there.
Oh, I like
classic, managers. Thing there.
I wanted to be when Portsmouth got Steve Cotterill, I would have liked Eddie Howe to have got the job.
Burnley.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Fine, correct.
We're all happy with that.
I'm sure the ladies in that area will be pleased to see him. It's quite a hit with the ladies, apparently. Not a bad looking fella, young guy.
He is a good looking lad, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
He was really, really highly regarded at the Pompey, even though he played like two games and got injured in both games. He got injured for a year, come back, injured again, retired. Again, a box ticked for a Pompey player.
Right. Have you been watching Serie A?
Little bit, yeah.
Good. Lecce 1, Milan 1. Is that the Zlatan Zeppelin on its way round?
It's got a good goal. Go again.
What a goal from Ibrahimovic, Pete.
Came out of nowhere. It seemed to be titty level, and then it just ended up in the net. But he was miles out. I couldn't figure out. I watched it a few times. Still don't know how that managed to get in.
You were talking about the way he side-footed it. You can believe
it. Side-footed it from like 25, 30 yards out.
And it two men on him.
Yeah, with a bit of an angle, like his body was.
With a defender in front of him. That's what I couldn't understand. I don't know how it managed to get past the defender.
But if any of us side-footed it like that, it would go about 6 feet. It would be a short pass. The power and the... Well,
accuracy.
Yeah,
the accuracy
is great.
But it was
it never flew in like a it wasn't a driller killer.
It went in.
But it stayed in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's his karate skills.
What would Alan Hansen have called it?
It's a decent hit.
Zlatan does do a bit of martial arts, doesn't
he? Does,
he?
Yeah.
So maybe that's where he's getting the power in these
honorary
kicks.
Though. Honorary.
No, but I think he does actually do the sport as well.
Do you know what his first tweet was after he scored that goal?
Get in there. Straight after.
He's
got an iPhone in his pocket.
Translated, the first tweet I saw after he scored that goal.
Translated.
It was, I guess that's why they call me Ibracadabra.
Is that even working his language?
Do people even call him that?
Yeah, but
I don't.
He speaks perfect English.
But I don't understand why. Where would he learn the word abracadabra?
That's his nickname.
I know, but it's confusing.
Are you saying this is not a verified
I'm
account?
I'm just confused.
No, it is definitely his account, because he also said, actually, about Ronaldinho, it's a great loss, but people deserve to be happy. We understand and wish you good luck.
Oh.
No, there's no way that's him.
Yeah, I'm paraphrasing.
And Balotelli said, I've just had a lovely afternoon. Had a bit of a stroll.
And I'm really happy here. And I am a very good professional footballer. Yeah. And there are lots of other players who are equally as good as I am.
In fact,
I'll be staying here as long as it benefits the club.
And I'm thinking of other people.
And if you've got a chance, check out my charity.
My hat is a sensible shape today. Lol.
Inter, since Leonardo's come along, four wins out of four in the league.
Yeah,
he said they wanted to be like. Leonardo said he wanted. Inter to be like Ayrton Senna. Hopefully not exactly like Ayrton Senna.
No.
Like prolific. Not how it ends.
Not currently like Ayrton Senna.
Paolo Bandini did a decent piece where he was talking about how Leonardo's come in and given them what they need. They've had a lot of good players.
Yep.
And he's just put an arm around them and said, you know, you're good players. Right. And rather than trying to endlessly tactically sort of bombard them like Benitez potentially did.
Well, he said that, you know, Mourinho was obviously there. Mourinho leaves. They all miss him. And I think Bandini was saying that Benitez comes in and goes, right, forget him. I do it. And it's
a lot of physical training, wasn't it?
Yeah, and bearing in mind they've won the treble, they've had, you know, some of the best seasons of their lives, probably. And Benitez is trying to say, right, you can forget. He's a bit of the Brian Clough. And as far as I'm concerned, you won all the medals by cheating, you know. And then so Leonardo's come in and gone, actually, you know, I'm a fan of the big man myself, you know. And he's kind of
tried to get that spirit, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. He's tried to get that sort of nice huggy, warm feelings.
Also makes him a good pundit.
Yeah, I
do like Leonardo.
He's a good looking guy as well. How did you get annoyed if he's watching you undress?
I could see him like opening my presents on Christmas morning and I wouldn't get angry with him.
Eating your selection boxes.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen. I've already opened them by Christmas morning.
Is that right? Now, a former Inter Milan player, Roberto Carlos. Scored directly from a corner.
That was straight off the training ground, because they had one player on just in front of the post and he lifted his leg up, cocked his leg like a dog urinating on a lamppost, and it went in.
But he scored it from, like, he swerved it from the outside of his foot and in.
I don't know what the keeper's better, but also the fact that he'd won that corner himself by beating a player for pace, and he's 37. It's ridiculous.
But to be fair, he looked. He's pacey still.
What was his celebration?
The celebration, it wasn't a particular celebration, but just seeing the size of
Ronaldo
as he went over to his target was incredible.
It's like John Parkin all over again.
It was like he was just going to ingest him through his, through his skin.
Would you like to see Ronaldo, the original, oh phenomeno, and John Parkin be a wrestling tag team? Oh,
absolutely, yeah.
I've seen them amazing, up front together.
Their special move would just be like, Parkin would pin guy down, and Ronaldo would come and just smash a ball in his face. That would be the finish.
Unnecessary, but...
please continue.
Well, no, I'd like to see them both play up front with a really busy attacking midfielder behind them.
Put yourself all for the role, yeah.
Well,
if the cat fits.
Who'll just feed them.
Yeah.
Nice.
Not literally, it's the last one they need.
Well, at half-time. Ronaldinho's gone to Flamengo. They beat Grêmio for his signature.
That's a shame, isn't it? It looked like it was going to be a bit romantic, him going back to Grêmio.
Yeah. Did it surprise you, though? I mean, Ronaldo did this, didn't he, when he went to... He was training with...
He was training with Flamengo, wasn't he? And then he went to Corinthians.
That's right, yeah. Thank you.
4 years he's on.
So they've complained about that, but they've done the same thing.
There's loads of massive clubs in Brazil, though, because of the size of it, which is great. So
Corinthians, like, fan base is multi-million.
Don't they have employed fans?
Yeah.
He's reportedly on about 100 grand a week.
There's a good
that club's roughly about 150 odd million in debt.
Well, Rupert Friday did a good piece just today, actually, on our website at footballround.com about how they're being paid for, and that they're getting a bit more savvy and bringing new sponsors and stuff. But that's, I think, they are running up a little bit of debt.
It's the sponsors paying the wages,
pretty much.
It's interesting.
My goodness. Asia Cup. It's the groups of
our team Jordan still in there.
Yeah, they've been going well.
Yeah, didn't
our team. Although Pete's Australia.
Yeah, there's always one, isn't there?
I know.
It's always Pete.
They're sneaking in there. They beat Bahrain 1-0.
Why are you supporting Australia?
Schwarzer had a lot of saves to make for a Bahrain team. To be fair,
really,
like, he was epic. He was really really good. They played very very well, but. Jordan completely seamened the Saudis for want of a better, word.
That simply cannot be a verb. I refuse to realise that as a verb. And a verb.
And they lobbed it. They did that sort of a cross cum shot. I said cum. Sorry.
Stop it. Is it just the word Jordan that is setting this off in you?
Yeah, yeah.
And the manager got instantly fired.
Bahrain sounds like somewhere horrible in Shoreditch.
Yes, it does.
Fair enough, James.
A swanky restaurant.
Careful. Qatar are going well. A good win against China. The mighty China.
China are out. They've gone. They're history. It. A billion strong, and they've gone out.
Exactly. Yeah, no, Qatar, they're through. Good warm up for 2022.
I think they might win it.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
The Iraq UAE match was quite good because they hit the bar, they hit the post. Each team hit the bar or post, take your pick, three times at least. It was a ridiculous match with ridiculous shooting. And then the UAE defender hit it into his own net. 93rd minute. 93rd minute.
Iraq actually have a strangely kind of rich footballing history given all the stuff that's gone on there. I think I'm reading Why England Lose at the moment. I've just been reading. Which is an absolutely superb book, which I would recommend. It's by Simon Cooper and Stefan Sizmzmir, I believe it's pronounced. And,
read it 18 months ago. Got it in hardback, but carry on.
Let in.
There's a bit in it talking about how
at the end they
supporters of the Iraq national team, we're chanting, "We are Sunni, we are Shiite, like we are Iraq," something like that. So, where else are you going to get that? And they've actually gone really well and they've won a lot of games, considering the stuff that's happened.
Oh, and also because of the funding and the state of the country and the state of the organisation.
But they're the most successful team in the region by some distance in a lot of different ways. When you look at certain stats and add them up in ways I don't really understand.
They were 3 points for a win. They were beaten by Iran 2-1. That's a derby.
Yeah. Some animosity there.
Isn't it just?
Fiercely contested.
Oh, I mustn't forget, Youssef Ahmed for Qatar against China. Did you see it?
Yes.
He knocked it up volley. Pop bang lovely.
Yeah, the video I saw of this had Marco van Basten strike first, so I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And it was a great strike, but that really did blunt the effect of the goal.
It's like me saying, Jim, I'm doing a bit of painting actually. Do you want to see what I did? Yeah, all right, yeah. Put it next to The Last Supper by Leonardo. Yeah. What do you think? Well, I think it's average.
I like your use of crayon, but.
But spit.
our team, Jordan, have got Uzbekistan on the quarters, so I fancy them to do a job. I think they'll get through to the
semi. Yeah.
And Pete's Australia. Finished top.
Oh, Pete's Australia makes me sick. Pete's Australia. God.
What a bit. Oh, I tell you what, actually. Sticking with Australia briefly, there's a Brazilian striker, I think he's Brazilian, Alex Terra, plays up front for the Melbourne Heart. And recently scored an overhead kick. Did we see that?
Yes.
Oh, with the chest where it came in the chest. Yeah, that's been doing the sort of YouTube football clips round, hasn't it? Sort of like where
it's been around my way.
Chest.
Talk me through it. I haven't seen it.
Cross came in. It was slightly behind him, back to goal.
It was a chest, and then the most beautifully Thomas Brolin off that advert bicycle kick.
Yeah, good description. Did he not have a touch? He flicked it up onto the chest and then overhead kick.
How far out?
10 yards.
It was a bit further than 10 yards.
It
was an excellent goal, but the YouTube video I saw had a bit of the sort of Australian banditry before it. And we get semi-regular emails actually from people in Australia saying, you think your punditry's bad, lads. And one of the guys, I forget who it was said, that is the absolute definition of hello chicks.
That is awful.
I loved it. That's the way Australian football punditry should be.
I don't even know what that means. I know what it means.
Isn't it over there, chickens as chucks anyway, isn't it? From Joe Mangle's youth. That's where you should keep them.
Joe Mangle.
Hello, Australia.
That's right.
Good day.
Harold! That's the way Australian football punditry should be for me.
Because you live in Australia.
Because you just want it to be a stereotype.
Let them have their fun.
Yeah.
And they're having more fun than us.
Let,
I can tell you.
Let us have our fun. What, on them.
I like three old men in Italy. You've got three old men and a woman with incredible breasts.
Yeah.
We want the South American shouting go 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 go. We want
in Ireland. They're all you got a very very angry man who's shouting at everybody.
Yeah, hates everyone.
Yeah. God.
England, you've got literally Richard.
Yeah.
Pundits are bad wherever you go. Christ.
Dear idea. Did you see the latest FIFA World Rankings?
Not top ranking.
It's looking good, boys. We're up to sixth. That must mean we are improving.
UEFA Cup. Sorry, Europa League.
Yeah.
Oh, if only, James. I don't think England would win the Europa League if they were in.
No, probably not.
But they won't have the chance. Spain are top, of course. Holland, ooh, Germany. Brazil down in fourth. Now, that is the first time for years in my own head, this might not be true, so
I'm backing you up on this.
That Brazil have been out of the top two, let alone three.
Yeah, maybe.
Ghana at 16th. I think that's a bit of a disappointment.
France at 18th. Yeah, now they've been.
They're good now.
Yeah, I know.
But what happens is people have a pop at the FIFA World Rankings, and in a lot of cases, rightly so. But what happens is it takes a while to catch up.
Yeah.
So basically, the next time round, France will be much higher because they're playing a lot
because
better.
Because of their 98 World Cup win.
yeah. It's just got through Euro 96. That's why England.
That's why we're okay.
I think it's. I mean, England are far too high, in my opinion.
Do you reckon? We're not the sixth best team, is that what you're saying?
It's not. Does anyone bother to take it seriously? Does FIFA even take it seriously? Isn't it just a completely just sort of
FIFA outsourced it.
Thing?
They even do it. Yeah.
But don't they get seedings out? They get seedings out that, don't they? Do they do seedings? And they also do. They give different places to the World Cup.
It depends on previous. I mean, in terms of seeding for tournaments, it depends on previous performance and stuff, doesn't it?
They were. It's just a set of criteria that aren't relevant to the game in reality.
It's a really complicated system of giving points for wins at home and wins away and how many you can see. It's loads of calculations.
That's right. They were going to stop it, but I phoned them up and said, please don't.
You can't argue with maths.
You can't.
Nobody is.
I'm sure mathematicians argue with each other about maths, don't they? Yeah. In fact, we had an argument about infinity a little while ago,
didn't we?
We were both neither talking of us even about different about things.
Maths. I feel that argument will go on forever. Jack Warner is putting a...
We'll go on forever, aren't
we? Well, he's putting a request... Yeah. On him and CONCACAF have asked for a full
Conca cash.
Funnier than what I would,
I saw people shouting on the bus as we speak.
Funnier than usual, Jack. That's what he's going to say.
Not what I meant at all. They've asked for full four World Cup places rather than the 3.5 they have now. The 3.5, of course, that incorporates the playoff. Yeah. Four places for the CONCACAF region.
I mean, Grant Wall at Sports Illustrated, the excellent Grant Wall, said that they're looking for a sort of compromise. And the compromise I think Jack Warner after he said is that they want their playoff to be against Asia or Oceania rather than South America.
Right,
so if he goes for four instead of 3.5, he might settle on that. But one of the things also is worth mentioning is that Asia is obviously a bigger continent. But relatively speaking, in terms of world rankings, the CONCACAF nations are much higher ranked than the Asians.
Yeah.
So it's not a terrible thing. It's not a terrible request.
It does sound like he's pushing for the actual just four automatic
places.
He's
pushing for world domination.
I think the point I'm making is Jack gets what Jack wants, so they will have.
Well, at least it's not patriotic since he refuses to pay his own teams. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly. And it's not like jingoistic. It's like we are the best. But I mean, it's weird that how
he wants another nation.
Oceania have like 0.5 places. Now, I don't know how many I've got for 11 nations, and New Zealand were the only undefeated team at the World Cup,
which should hold a bit of standing next.
Well, surely. I mean, but then the South Americans have 4.5 places for 10 nations.
Yeah,
but Pete, the Oceania have 11. One of those is American Samoa.
Yeah, I know they're all in the sea. But why? How come New Zealand? Why don't they just get rid of Oceania? Because I mean, Australia play.
You can't do that. There's loads of people living there. It's out of order.
Sink it.
You can move them. Move them to
the pundits aren't that bad.
Well, how come Australia are allowed to leave there and go to compete in Asia?
Because Australia were winning games like 25-0.
Yeah, but
like,
why don't
New Zealand? Then New Zealand will have a better chance. All of the Oceania teams would have a better chance of qualifying, presumably, if they've got to play a playoff to even get close.
The World Cup's too big anyway. Mm. It shouldn't be.
They should get all the small nations that are really low ranked from every.
Put them in England's group.
From every continent. Oh. Put them in like a sort of rubbish World Cup. And sort of they can all qualify with each other.
That's what I'm saying. England should have
England the alternative.
Are England going to be in it? Yeah, they probably should be.
Yeah, because we might have a chance of a semi-final. I was about to say semi-final. It's quarter-finals now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But Uruguay sneaked in, and they were came
snucked,
third.
Snuck in.
Snuckled.
Yeah. Uruguay did.
But Uruguay come from a very tough qualification.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm just saying that's your point five. So where are they going to take it from? They're going to take it from South Africa. They're going to take it from Africa. I mean, they've just given them a World Cup, for crying out loud. It's like, where are they going to take this point five that one and one?
So they should use that extra place that Ireland wanted.
Yeah.
Well,
wasn't there some amazing quote attached to this as well, where Jack Warner said something like, "I think we need to get this place because it needs to be taken into consideration what you know the CONCACAF teams have done both on and off the pitch." It just wonders what weird shady operations he's got going on in the background.
Because we killed some dudes. They is in the sea now, Oceania. The new place.
Yeah, well, wherever the point five comes from, as we've learnt on this podcast, you can't argue with maths. Oh, just quickly before we go on to the emails, opening the curtain up a little bit there, ladies and gentlemen. I passed Diego Corner the other day.
What?
Sorry. Well, the window was slightly open, and I quickly...
No, I'd never leave the window open.
Well,
he's been in there, man, hasn't he?
But anyway, I grabbed a quote, and he was...
What?
look, it's okay. It's okay.
Don't touch me.
He was very pleased that Messi won the Ballon d'Or, was El Diego. And he said, "When I'm compared to Messi, the positive thing is leaving out Pelé."
any chance, isn't it?
Yeah. Great stuff.
Apparently, though, Luke, if someone does break into your Diego Corner, you do have the right to shoot
on
site.
Well,
on site.
Theoretical, it wouldn't happen.
Anyway, have we got time for an email jingle? A new one, perhaps?
We most certainly have.
He said that.
What on earth?
And he said.
Emails!
That one's from a young man by the name of Max Thornton.
Better. I thought that was a good one. I enjoyed that
good
one.
Thank you, Max.
It does it better. Last week's was quite good.
Just being objective.
Podcast at the Football Ramble for all of your email-y jingles.
Very put enjoyable. A .com on the end as well.
Or I won't get there.
Shut it. This one's from James Kelly. It begins, "Dear Ramble Force." I've been an avid listener of the podcast for a while now. And in one of a recent episode, you were talking about football games you played as a child. And I decided to tell you about the one I used to play. I only really had two friends as a child. One of them was my twin brother. Spooky.
Doesn't count.
So he didn't really count. Luckily, neither of them had any other friends either, so he had plenty of time to play a game that we believed that we had created.
It's not Dear Deirdre.
We should do that.
Dear Donaldson.
Yeah.
Write him your problems next week.
Dear Diego. This is the game that they created. We call it Three and In, and basically consisted of one of us in goal and the other two trying to score three goals before the other, and the person who lost had to go in goal. Now we soon made new friends who assured us that it was basically Wembley, but with the added complication of the loser going in goal. We didn't care and soon got rid of the friends who insisted to call it Wembley, so we carried on playing. But I discovered that I really enjoyed playing in goal, so began playing badly so I could play there as much as possible. Unfortunately, both my brother and my friend discovered they loved being in goal at the same time as me. So our once beautiful game soon became a shambles with everybody playing as badly as possible. Finally, this inspirational game came to an end and we decided to play proper Wembley. We now all play in goal for different teams with varying success.
Oh, results.
Do you want to run out for the ramble?
And I thankfully have new friends. Newcastle for the title, James Kelly.
Sorry to piss on your chips, James, but I used to play 3 and In.
Yeah.
That's what we used to call it in Edinburgh.
I love the way he's basically almost alluding to the fact that he didn't really have any exterior friends, so he made that game up independent, but then it had been invented other places. So it's almost like that game always existed. It had to be discovered rather than invented.
Yeah, it's
like maths.
I'd sort of argue it's like the lemurs in Madagascar, where they had no natural sort of primate-y sort of problems with other animals. So they just grew into weird... They're still primates, but they look weird.
There you go, James. You're a primate like the rest of us.
Exactly. But we had a big argument on Twitter, didn't we, about 3 and In? We all call it different things.
I call it Knockout Wembley.
I call it just knockouts.
And you say 3 and In.
3 and In.
Yeah. And there's loads of variation. Cuppies.
Slightly different games, though. 3 and In is you score three, and the other team has to choose a keeper.
Yeah. Or
a
knockout.
Yeah.
Any game's fine.
Wembley doubles, was that?
Yeah, that was the same, but doubles instead of
headers and volleys, though. The same everywhere.
Yes. It does what it says on the tin. James, have you got an email?
I have. Hello to the Ramblers.
Hello.
Hello to you.
Hello, Stephen Fry.
I recently heard the email about Sparky Hughes strutting his stuff at a West London pub quiz, and it reminded me of my encounter with another large-thighed centre-forward in a pub quiz scenario.
Oh.
We were settled in for the weekly quiz at the local pub in North Leeds, whereupon the local pub in North Leeds, whereupon the door slammed open to reveal the magnificent figure of Dean Windass.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Evening!
I'd love to say we also ended up in a tense tiebreak situation with a big lad, but it was not to be. I can only imagine that this was in the dark period between playoff-winning goal glory and Gillette Soccer Saturday reporting mundanity, as Dino didn't even seem to be interested in the quiz and instead satisfied himself with a good 10 pints or so of bitter. He was amusingly smashed, and we left when he started singing. Cheers.
Why'd you leave?
I was going to say,
that's when you stay.
That's when the evening just begins.
Well, that's from Jack Mann. In Leeds, which sounds like Jack Mental.
So yeah, cheers, Jack.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for that, Jack. Yeah.
Lovely. What time is it now?
Is it? It's about 9:05.
What time is it now?
It's profile time.
Better.
That's a better time than 9:10. Yes.
5 past.
Wow.
If I may. It's profile time.
Hey.
Ooh.
Didn't see that coming.
Nobody ever does. Today we are profiling a man who passed on recently. It's the late, great Nat Lofthouse OBE.
Mm. Excellent stuff.
He was born on the 27th of August, 1925.
42 years, no less, before the summer of love.
Again, good maths.
Mm.
One of the greatest English centre-forwards of all time.
And no mistake.
No mistake about it. One could even say he was the epitome of the old-fashioned classic English centre-forward that we've all come to know and love, apart from some defenders maybe who've taken a bit of a battering.
And we haven't got any of them anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Well, leading the line, strong and fast, scoring the goals.
He did get a few.
Yeah, he got lots.
Being the hero, kissing the girls. Well, he wasn't. He was a nice man. But you know what I mean?
Nice men kiss girls.
Yeah, taking a lot of knocks as well in the process. And many described him, including himself, as a battering ram.
Did he?
even his name, like Lofthouse, it sounds like a building. It sounds like playing against a building.
Yeah, it would be like that.
Yeah. He's a one-club man with Bolton Wanderers. Of course. Now, he started off, he was selected to play against Bury Schools for Bolton Schools. And the boys from Bolton won 7-1 that day. And he scored all 7.
Oh, it's a good start. It's a strong start.
That's right. He signed as an amateur at the age of 14. And he signed up, this was World War II.
Would have been around the time that broke out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And early 40s, he was playing with George Hunt, who had a huge effect, huge influence, on Lofthouse's style of play and development. And George Hunt was a big guy at Bolton. He was one of their big players, and they moved him to inside right and put a 15-year-old Lofthouse
15
right up there. And as a lot of his teammates went abroad to fight in the Second World War. Lofthouse was too young, so he went down the mines.
Yes,
like an enforced youth policy,
Northern stereotype.
Well, it was while he was down the mines, he was pushing heavy things, lifting heavy things. He was getting toughened up.
Mm. Yeah, I think that also gives you a good perspective. But, you know, when you're playing football, you think, well, it could be worse. A couple of months ago, I was down the mines.
Well, I imagine it's sort of like a sort of kind of Rocky style training montage with Lofthouse down the mines,
but with more lung disease,
Hovis,
dead canaries, and subsequently worried men.
Yeah.
3:30 a.m. he'd get up. 4:30 he would get the tram to work. He would have 8 hours down the pit. He would just be pushing tubs full of all
coal.
Sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's hard. It's a flipping teenager.
Yeah.
You know.
Then he'd go training.
And then
for Bolton.
Yeah. He would work 8 hours. Yeah. That's right. And then he was collected by the team coach and then went off to play for Bolton.
Then he got a shower first.
Yeah. Absolutely incredible. But yeah, it toughened him up physically. And because of a book by Dean Hayes points out that he said the humour of his fellow miners made sure he never became arrogant about his success on the field. You know, it was very evident with Lofthouse. He was very much a man of the people, but just not a hint of arrogance on the man. Mm. Very level-headed, very down-to-earth, and very appreciative of what he was given as a football player, you know, with regards to wages and...
Even though the wages wouldn't have been great at that point.
No, but around the time of the war, I think he would appreciate those things a lot more.
Of course.
Yeah, totally. But I think his dad was on, like, £2.50 a week, and he got... signing on fee was like £10.
Yeah,
you know, he's earning a lot more than his dad, which was quite something.
Sort of thing you get Pompey now, isn't it?
Right. First on Pompey. Oh, that's not since Prozonecki. He's first on Pompey mentioned the profile for ages. I see it as a win.
He was excellent with both feet, but superb in the air.
They all were then.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things is it's absolutely true. I'm not cheapening him. What I'm saying is. The ability in heading the football then, and I'm not being 50s, 60s, it just seems it's not as good now. I mean, even back in the 90s, you could pick out some great headers of the ball, Vieri, Bierhoff. You know, you couldn't say that about players now. I mean, is there a world-class header of the ball you
Ronaldo?
Could
pick well, underrated for his heading ability.
Rooney for one season.
For about a month.
But Ronaldo's not a real neck muscles, get up there and absolutely bullet it in like David Platt, is he?
No, I'd say Ronaldo's got that in his game. He's got so much more to it.
I'm surprised you used Platt in that example. He's a good header.
I don't know why Ronaldo's come up here. But
Lofthouse, great. Underground, better above it, and a couple of feet above that as well.
In fairness, you don't know how good he was as a minor. He might have been very good.
Absolutely well.
I'm sure he was. I bet he was brilliant.
Yeah, pushing it with his neck.
Well, one of his finest moments was in 1952, where he scored twice in a 3-2 win against Austria in Austria. Now, Austria were one of the best teams in Europe.
They were.
They were a fantastic side, and he scored the winning goal where he kind of, I think he ran about half the length of the field with the defender just trying to chop him.
But England were a good team then as well.
Yeah, England were a good
team. This is just before Hungary.
This was the,
England, I believe, would have still been unbeaten then.
At home they were.
At Wembley, yeah. And yeah, so he ran the length of the field, getting battered by the defender, managed to hold him off, chipped the keeper, and then I think, was it the goalkeeper that clattered him after? He went down and he got injured, basically, but no, I'm not coming off.
Yeah.
You know, I think it might have been that incident or another one where he was knocked unconscious in that game and still sort of brushed it off and ran it off, really. But that for his heroics in that game, he was called the Lion of Vienna.
You're happy with that, didn't they?
Yeah, and Sir Alf Ramsey said the courage Nat showed was typical of him. The way he insisted on coming back lifted the heart of every Englishman in the stadium. Mm. Marvellous.
If I could be a professional footballer, my nickname would be the Lion of Vienna. I'd take that all day.
Mine would be the Vienna of Lyon.
James?
It's a principality.
I'd be happy with Jim.
The Viennetta of Essex.
Actually, that's good, because that's quite a camp dessert, and you are quite camp, so it works.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah, good. He had a good time playing for England. A good attacking lineup as well, with Stanley Matthews and Sir Tom Finney on the wings. He did play in the 1954 World Cup finals as well. His England... His stats for England are quite impressive. 33 games, 30 goals.
Good.
Yeah, that's excellent.
He was causing for three, clearly.
Yeah.
Prolific.
He's knocked out for three by the sound.
That's right, and he played in a couple of memorable FA Cup finals. One in the 1953, which was the Matthews final.
Hell of a lot of pressure on Matthews before that game, I must say, with that title attached to it. Did very well to put in a performance.
Yeah, pardon the pressure on.
Very good, James. Blackpool, of course, beat Bolton 4-3.
It was an excellent game, by all accounts.
Lofthouse scored in every round of the FA Cup that season.
Wow.
Jairzinho-esque.
Yeah.
Perhaps his most remembered moment in an FA Cup final was when Bolton played Manchester United at Wembley in 1958, and he clattered the keeper over the line to score the second goal.
Never been allowed these days.
Oh my God. He knocked the keeper unconscious.
The ball went in. Goal.
I don't think he actually touches the ball.
Wasn't it? Weren't you allowed to barge the keeper then? I mean, I know he fouled him, but I think it was a legitimate thing he could do then.
Like, well, it counts.
With less force.
Well, you know, he was asking for it, trying to get the ball.
Yeah. Hey, can you, I mean, in fairness...
That was his second goal. His first goal was legitimate.
I wouldn't go for the, quite to that extent, but these days you can't go near a goalkeeper. I think that's a shame.
Yeah. It would have never been counted, though.
Oh, no, of course not.
Even a few years later,
no,
I think.
No,
well, I mean, there's still controversy about it now. A lot of people think it shouldn't have counted then.
Well, it's given.
It was given.
We're counting it.
And I think I'm going to hear Peter Cech crying.
He's joint fifth in the all-time English goal scorers list. And he retired from football in 1960. One of the most prolific strikers in English footballing history. Scored 285 goals in 503 games for Bolton. It's in all competitions.
Better than 1 and 2. Which so is Dean Moore, when that's Hall of Fame acceptable.
Absolutely not. Seventh highest goal scorer in the history of the top flight.
Good.
English football.
Wow. That's huge, isn't it?
Yeah. Given that he retired 50 years ago.
Yeah,
plenty of time for people to beat that record, yeah, and they haven't bothered. That's how good he is.
Lazy.
Well, they have six of them. Well, but you know what I mean.
He became a coach, Bolton. Bell. He didn't like the manager's job. He said he didn't like telling someone that he can't play.
Oh, he's too nice.
Too much. He's a true gent. Yeah. True gent.
They end up like sort of with like 35 men on the field, and the referee's going, "You can never tell one of them. At least one."
I like the idea that he would happily knock a goalkeeper out. Instead of not telling them, instead of telling them they were not playing, just knock them out.
Yeah,
you're playing. Bang! That never happened.
And when they wake up after the game, you were brilliant.
Years later, he was named club president of Bolton. He was voted Bolton's greatest ever player in a poll conducted in 2006. Freeman of the city as well.
He's got part of the stand at the Reebok named after him.
Has indeed. And there's also a pub in Bolton called the Lion of Vienna. So go
it's
there.
The East Stand at the Reebok, isn't it?
But I shall end with a quote from the great man. He said, and often people compare the modern day footballers to footballers just like him. And he said, "In my day there were plenty of fellas who would kick your bollocks off. The difference was that at the end of the match they would shake your hand and help you look for them."
Come on in. That's a great quote. I'm very, very chuffed he's in.
Yeah.
Excellent. A real deserving entrant, yeah. I think.
Especially for that last quote. Brilliant. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble. If you would like to email, the address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com.
If you want to go out and check out the blogs, got a little roundup of what's been going on in the blog this week.
So we should do this every week from now on, James. Keep people abreast.
I think we shall. So this week in the world of the Ramble blog, Karim Benzema might want to have a look. The handy list of forwards Real Madrid are rumoured to be looking at, in between looking at pictures of his exes on Facebook if he's feeling a little bit wistful and glum. Spurs have been annoying relatives of the craze all over Stratford, while Brazil's frequently returning stars are having their wages paid by the likes of Visa. We touched on that briefly earlier. Rupert Florea has got an excellent blog on that. There's a lowdown on Tony Adams, Azerbaijani paymaster, a man who controls the distribution of fruit juice and Red Bull in the country, among other things, and allegedly flew to London just so he could beat up an Armenian boy who dared go out with the daughter of an Azerbaijani minister. He is a scary, fruity man.
That story has everything.
That's James Appel's blog.
That is crazy. On top of these, of course, there is Peter Reid paying Plymouth Argyle's electricity bill, Besiktas turning Portuguese, the MLS Superdraft, and a US college soccer team called the Akron Zips, who produce players with names like Perry Kitchen. So get over to that.
If you don't read those, you are missing out.
Seriously.
Yeah,
and if you like Pick Live, playing Pick Live with us at thefootballramble.picklive.com, that's thefootballramble.picklive.com, you can get involved in a big Pick Live tournament that's happening right throughout February. There's a £1,000 prize pot, of which the main prize is 600 flipping bajoulies.
That's not
bad. Or pounds.
For 5 minute fantasy football, that is a good prize.
Yes, like you mentioned last week, they have cut down the length of time you spend actually playing a game, so it's great.
So you can, it's even less time to win even more money.
Yeah, but
that's kind of a good thing on Pick Live sometimes, isn't it? Because you race into a bit of a lead and think, I'll just end now.
Yeah. Well the Donaldson surge has suffered.
No way.
So I've had to change my way I play. So yeah.
Crazy good behavior. Stuff. Yeah. Right, I think that's it. Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, PT.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me. We're all off to leave out Pele. Cheers.
When you can blow a condom up to be about that big, you don't need a bigger condom.
Oh, I need a big condom now. My penis has gone big.
Well, you put them on when it's floppy, are you? Weirdo. This is excellent.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.